Hey, Coral.
Hello.
Hello.
Seeing if we get people. Hey, Michelle.
Hi, Kyle. Good afternoon.
How are you?
Good.
I just gave a shout out to your cafeteria today at a meeting, because we had a meeting and it was 12 o'clock and I'm like, I got no food service. Maybe next year, but if you head over to the hospital.
Great. Thank you. It was busy today.
At some point when we get our cafe going, that'll be one of the updates, but I need to revisit that conversation with them.
Yep. Absolutely.
You got Jim on the line. I haven't seen a lot. Must be floating in different circles here. I haven't seen Jim and Michelle in a while. Mary, I think I bumped into you somewhere, and then Carrie, same thing.
Yeah, we did. I think it was WNC. Was it musical theater or something?
Yeah, that was a while. That was last semester then, I know.
Yeah. Got another good one coming up though this fall.
Yeah. We got a good one.
It'll be great.
Plus it's a non-legislative year, so we're all in hibernation.
I know. Hiding out, but there's still a lot going on.
Yeah, no kidding.
Good to see you, Kyle.
Yeah, good to see you guys too. I think we're I'll leave it up to the chair if you want to start and hold voting items until we get more people, or how you want to work it.
Yeah, how short are we here?
We do have a quorum, Carrie.
Okay. All right, well, let's get rolling then. All right, so we're good. Good afternoon. I'd like to call today's meeting of the IAC to order. Today's meeting agenda was posted in accordance with Nevada open meeting law. The meeting is being recorded and is being held via Zoom video conference. When public comments are taken, please start by stating your name and who you represent for the record. In the interest of time, reserve the right to limit comments to 3 minutes per person and will respectfully interrupt if time is exceeded. If your comments have already been presented by someone else, please note that and do not repeat the information. I'd like to remind the IAC members that whenever you're speaking, always first identify yourself for the record. It's important that we correctly identify speakers and their corresponding comments. I will now call the meeting to order. Tracy, will you please take roll?
Roll has been taken.
And we have a quorum?
Yes, we have a quorum.
Fantastic. All right. Agenda item number 2, public comment. Is there any public comment? Right. Hearing none, we'll roll right on to agenda item 3, approval of the minutes from September 25th, 2025. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the September meeting? All right, if there's no modifications, I would entertain a motion.
Jim Peckham, so moved.
Mary Brzezinski, second.
Right. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion is approved. Agenda item number 4, Dr. Delpy will provide college updates. This item is for information only.
So thank you, I appreciate that. Welcome Vice Chancellor Brown as well. I saw you slip on the call and we've got Dana Ryan's coming in, so we've got a few of our people, but must be too nice of a day for everyone to be inside on a Zoom call, I guess, for those missing members. I do have some updates for you, but because I have a presentation coming, I'm gonna limit it to kind of just some true updates of what's going on at the college. We're right about at the 4,000 students for spring semester. So enrollment's right where we kind of want it to be. We have a number of projects. We need to do the next IAC, bring you on campus, have you look around. There's a number of things going on. We have started construction at the Fallon campus on the nursing building, Pinion building being converted to a nursing and allied health building with federal funding, private funding. The plans to design plans are just in motion, about to go to bid on some of that for the Douglas campus for the similar project. That's also federal funding, $4.5 million. And then on Carson, we're completing work on the Reynolds building as fast as we can. That the good weather has helped us have more days to work on roofing projects and things like that. We've upgraded bathrooms, one of the bathrooms here on campus, which I've seen several of you today, and you know how excited I am about the bathroom renovations, because they were created in 1974 and have never been updated. So you can only imagine what it used to look like, and we still have some of those if you want to see a before and after picture. But it's exciting to use the deferred maintenance funding that the state gives us to make the campus more usable and more appealing, especially those spaces that are not heavy on donor funds. Not many donors, I have yet to find a donor that will invest in renovating the bathroom. So bathrooms are getting done, but we're also doing other things, like I will talk about a little bit, the cafeteria space in our Aspen building. We received $1.5 million from the state for capital improvement project funding. That is kicked off. That needs to be done by June of next year, June of 27. So we have a year plus on that one. Plus, we just received another million plus from the federal budget that just went through last month or 6 weeks ago for that project. And we will be creating a cafeteria space so that we can have some form of food service on campus, even if that's a contracted food service. But the equipment, the drainage, all of that in that building is subpar, so that needs to be updated before we can even go beyond the vending machines we have over there now. Following shortly behind that, we'll be working on a project that has, if I'm correct, I think it's 2029 for the observatory, maybe 28, but we have a few more years to implement some funding we received for the observatory for a refresh and several things, which include our outdoor lighting for night viewing. So that's a different kind of lighting, but there's nothing up there now, and we're worried about people tripping and falling and not getting to where they need to safely. So all of those projects are going on. So it's pretty exciting. There's a lot going on, and the campus, every time you come through, it just looks a little bit different. So all of that supported by our enrollment, which has plateaued since we shot up 17%, then another few percentage points the last few years. But that's okay, because we don't want to get beyond capacity to where we can serve students. Final note on this updates, we are doing strategic planning, working on our strategic plan that went from 2018 to 2025. It's on a 7-year cycle to match our accreditation. The next one will do the same. I've asked that if needed, external populations like IAC participate in some of the feedback on that. So you may get a call, we'll see where that goes. But we're looking at certain things. Some of the strategies I'll talk about in the spring updates that I have coming up. So with that, I'll leave you all with that. I can answer any questions now, or we can move ahead and I can run through the presentation I've got, and then we can do questions after that. When we get there, I know we got some other agenda items between it.
All right. Thank you for that. We'll jump to 5, which will be very brief. Only remarks are it's great to see the momentum that continues to be gained at the college, and the investments that are being made in the physical presence, and just really, really excited about what tomorrow brings. So really, really great to see, really exciting. And with that, we'll go to agenda item number 6, presentation of WNC's 2026 spring update.
So you should see nod your heads if you see campus view, hopefully. Okay, making sure I didn't put up a picture of K kids or grandkids, which I'm happy to do that as well. I'm gonna leave it on the, I'm not gonna do full presenter mode, I'm gonna leave it on this right here so I can kind of navigate a little bit. So in January of 2026, I gave a presentation at the campus, kind of a mid-year check-in. There's been some questions, you know, with the accreditation last year, with the strategic plan technically ending in 2025. I mean, at the end of the day, from a perspective of me working at a community college for 23 years now in multiple positions, you know, I could give you a 5-point, but maybe not five, but I could give you some bullet points on what the mission and what the strategies for community colleges are. We're here for access and we're here for success of students. I mean, that's it. There's a lot of other things we throw in the bucket, and that's why we do strategic planning, but we are engaged in that process now to try to find not that high level, but some key performance indicators. But I have been getting some questions about, you know, what the direction would be. And I don't want to taint the strategic planning process. I found that most strategic planning is not very strategic because everybody wants their particular thing put in there. So we're going to try to avoid that and go forward. So we are hoping to get an actual strategic plan to our Board of Regents for approval, which is required under our code by June of this year. So more to share coming forward. But I did put together this update, and I wanted to share some things with the campus, and I'll share them with you here, and we'll just walk through them, and then I can answer questions. So the first one is that this isn't a cop-out or trying not to have any updates, but I've been in this position for 4 years now, I think. I'm trying to remember. There was an interim year in there, plus three on the contract. So 4 years in the president's seat, 6 years at the institution, and we have, I feel like in the last year, we have gotten to a position where we are actually starting to move forward. We have forward momentum. We have been in survival mode for the longest time. We went into the pandemic with a potential enrollment decline. When I was hired in April of 2019, I hadn't even started yet. The then president said, we're gonna be down 9% in the fall. We don't know what to do. And I said, we're not gonna be down 9%. There's no way. I've done some enrollment management. We can pick up a few percentage points. We ended up being 4% ahead. That helped us survive the pandemic because we had momentum. We didn't know we needed it, but we knew we needed to get out of a deficit situation. But ever since the pandemic, with the infrastructure literally crumbling in some places, with enrollment fluctuations, heavy high school students, the strategy has been survival. And whether we go into a legislative session and they cut something, we go into a legislative session, they give us money that can only be used for one purpose, and we need money over here. We've been in survival mode. I really feel like in the last year, we are out of survival mode only, and we're moving forward, which is why I supported, and so, as did our students and all of the other presidents, the registration fee increase, because that allows us not to step backwards if there is a funding issue going into the next legislative session, which, as many of you, not even looking at nodding heads, if you are doing that, know that we're probably not going to fare very well as a state when disposable income and travel are stymied by world events. So we've seen it before. It's going to happen again. Vegas is already down 11% at the airport in January. So all of that being said, I'm going to come with more of a scorecard baseline as we go into our August welcome back, and we probably will present it in tandem at the IAC and foundation boards as well, to kind of just look at what we've done and how we're moving forward in line with the new strategic plan. So I put August 19 on here because that's when I do the all college for our employees, but we will bring it to IAC as well. We just have so many things we need to count up because we have touched so many square footage of everything. We've done so many updates. We've built solid enrollment. We're in a really good place. That said, I want to keep talking about moving forward. And so the things that help us with long-term sustainability are the enrollment mix, and what we say by that, that's actually, we should have a fundraising event, the enrollment mix, and you can have little drinks and things. But for now, the enrollment mix means how many non-high school student versus high school students we have. We are currently at about 60-40. It might be one or two points higher than 40%. 40% being the high school students, it's come down just a little bit. We want to be helping and serving more non-high school students. And there's a lot of initiatives that are moving that in that direction. The nursing expansions that I spoke, when I talk about Douglas campus, we're building renovating that building for nursing. There was never nursing there, so that's a new cohort. Fallon campus, we talk about finding a place for them because they were displaced during the pandemic from the county building into our academic skills center. It's a permanent home for our nursing program in Fallon. but it will scale up. So it's going to be an increase in nursing students. So that's the good news. And those are adult students. Those are not high school students. So naturally we will be looking at the mix and how we can not be so heavy on dual enrollment high school students, because that population is diminishing. And we don't want to, you know, be caught on the demographic cliff as it comes down. Also, the student experience, which is everything I talked about, the upgrades. I don't want students to be sitting in classrooms looking up at ceiling tiles that have stains on them. That happens. It's not going to happen. That's how we find the leaks. But we want to fix the roof so we don't have that deal. And then we've been upgrading our student services spaces with new carpet, new paint, and just to make the student experience in and out of the classroom a little bit better. Compliance stuff comes first, safety comes first, but also the more than cosmetic, but in line with cosmetic, just to say, hey, I feel good about being here. And again, a lot of these are things that have bubbled up, but a lot of it's kind of my, you know, I dropped them on here because I'm passionate about a lot of this. Employee success, I think, you know, employee health, wellness, all of that is important, because if employees don't feel like they're bringing value to the institution, if they don't feel like they know what they're doing, they're not in a real good place spending so many hours here, then it's going to trickle down to the product we serve and the people we serve, a product we deliver and people we serve. And then viability, all of this leads to viability. It's nice to be here as a campus, but we cannot be here without enrollment. We have to meet the needs of our community. So that's the moving forward part. When I talk about, I talked about some of this as we go, I'll go a little bit more, but here's the bullet points on this: the enrollment mix, the adult learners, like I talked about, academic pathways, bachelor degrees. We have two bachelor degrees now. I'd like to have a BSN, a Bachelor of Science in Nursing. I'd like to look at other bachelor degrees to target certain areas. But we have to be in tune with what's needed, not just put something up that we say, hey, this is probably a good idea. Student experience, again, especially the saxophone shot. I start here, go anywhere has been our tagline forever. And I just told Nikki and crew in marketing, please keep it that way. For those of you that don't know, I've been part of WNC for 6 years now. I did interview for the president job way back and then got in here with the VP job, and I feel fortunate to be here. But way back in 2018, when I was looking at the institution, I was talking about it as a destination. And what that means is, and I kind of dusted off the concept, because we looked at, you know, how do we grow the institution and better meet the needs? And really we're lacking on some community space, whether it's a student center, event space, or coupled with classrooms and offices, or even some dormitories, whatever that might look like. Because this state fundamentally does not have an option for students in public sector higher education unless you want to go to a city. And so students who want to go to Reno, they can go to UNR. They have dorms. TMCC does not. But there's other housing if you can find it. It's very expensive. Vegas students, there's UNLV, or anybody can go to Vegas. There's housing at UNLV, Nevada State. I don't believe CSN does. But if you wanted to have a somewhat of a traditional college experience with housing and residential life, but not be in an urban environment, there are no options. Great Basin has some dorms. But that's a whole different environment that you've really got to be used to. But we are opposed to where, if we had some housing options, whether that's a public-private partnership, our own building, whatever that looks like, if we had something like that, then we could be a destination for students who wanted to have that experience but didn't want to necessarily go to a four-year school or go to an urban environment. I also realized that I might even be retired before any of this stuff would lift off, but if we don't start planting the seeds now, we'll never get it done. And so I'm starting to talk about, we want to see where the strategic planning goes. We want to do some feasibility studies. We want to talk about how we possibly can build up the Carson campus first into a place that is more of a destination for all things that we would say college. And right now, when I was talking at the beginning, we don't even have food service on campus. And so that's kind of a rough sell for people. Hey, come spend time on campus, but we can't feed you and there's nothing to do but take classes. Everybody knows we do classes. It's the student experience. That's the big part. So there's a lot there in that third bullet, but I just want to kind of put out there, like I have with other groups, where I'm thinking about going, and I've got a closing slide that sums it up. Again, the employee success, well-being, helping. When I talk about the yin and yang in the workplace, for those of you who haven't heard, I finished my certification to be a yoga instructor, so I may hold the title of the only president who's a yoga instructor. So I am not planning on quitting my day job. It's been an exercise routine for me since I was 24 years old, which puts it at 30 plus years. I did it for enrichment, but I started thinking about the concepts and thinking to myself, you know, yang being the busy side of the body, the get things done, all of that. The yin is the slower pace, think about things. We need to balance ourselves in the workplace. And that comes down from everything from maybe taking a walk in the middle of the day to actually sitting and having lunch to freeing up the calendar so you have time to think. And so all of that blends into employee success. And I'm hoping we can do that. We have a healthy campus committee here that does a number of activities. We have an employee relations person who's doing activities. So again, the trickle down will be our student success. The last one I'll throw in a couple here is just safety. I don't want that to be forgotten. We're doing all kinds of things with safety, putting up there's some new fencing going in Fallon. There's some cameras going in, a lot of cameras going in Carson with Ann Fallon, emergency call system that we're scheduled to test tomorrow. None of which we've had before. None of which, knock on wood, we've probably needed, but you never know. We don't want to be the next headline without being able to create a safe environment for people to be able to respond. And then viability, again, I talked about that. There's a shot here of each of our campuses. So it's Carson, Fallon, and Douglas. If you haven't seen Douglas, take a drive by sometime. The building will stay the same. The guts are getting completely renovated. But we want to be viable as an institution, not just for the sake of everybody who works here needs to have a job, but because we're meeting the needs of students. And when we look at rural populations, I always tell people, Reno's here, and TMCC and UNR sit there and deal with the urban population. And we're right here, which we're fortunate, we have a short drive to the airport. We're not like other institutions that are way out there, but then we serve into the state. And all of those people, when a group of us went to Yerington the other day, and it's an hour and 15 minutes, hour and 20 minutes one way, that's literally one class time round trip. And so if students don't have to drive that, if they can take a class online, or we can deploy an instructor or a class there, then that helps out everybody, you know, accessing education. Again, not always practical for every class, but some of the things we can do the outreach into the internal part of the state. So my goals going forward, some of this, which I put up here, not a lot of science behind it, but not, I think, unattainable either. The non-high school population right now, which is anybody who is not a high school student. So if they graduated in June, in July, they're not a high school student anymore. Move it to 55, somewhere around 55% non-high school students, which would drop our dual enrollment to 30. I would prefer it drops to 35%, so we even hit that 65%. Add a couple bachelor degrees. So I saw Dana enter the room, so I'll leave it up to her which ones, because Dana won't launch a program unless there's been a feasibility study and we can sell it. I don't want to be the build it and they will come. We want to build it and say now where we're going to put them. So we want to make sure we have capacity to keep it going. We're going to keep fixing the old stuff. I mean, I feel old, but I think I'm actually older, but not by a few years than this campus. But some of the stuff looks familiar for me being in grade school. We're going to keep doing the bathrooms. The HVAC keeps failing. We're going to keep fixing up offices, all of it. And then we are going to look at some new building, because new infrastructure helps us spread things out. It even gives us the option to clear out one area so we can renovate it, but we've got to have a place to put people. But the student life dorm services and more are the headliners on that one. We seem to have classroom space that we can flex, especially with all of the online and dual enrollment, but it's the other engagement space. And as we know and have seen over the years, engagement keeps students literally engaged, which means they finish their programs. So that's the big goals going into next year. So again, we'll do a scorecard in August. I'll do a state of the college, and then I'll do something for IAC, and then we'll move forward with whatever comes out of the strategic plan. So there's a whole lot there. I'm gonna shut the share down and look at all your smiling faces. Hopefully you're still awake. And then if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I have a question. Okay, thank you. When you're looking at your strategic plan, are you thinking at all about bringing sports back to WNC to enhance campus life?
So Mary, I can tell you there's not a day goes by that I don't get asked that question.
I'm sorry.
We're gonna do competitive yoga. You know, the baseball field, it's a field of dreams, I guess. I would actually put the residential life ahead of the baseball or athletics. And the problem we've got with the field, so no, there's no discussion on baseball, although many people have submitted it on our comments. Because we would need to find out if we would need to figure out a equal level playing field, pun intended, for women's sports. And the baseball field right now is really, really in rough shape. So the sun does not do fun with turf, and the cement is starting to crack. And there's going to be its own strategic plan for the baseball field, which would be a discussion on bringing sports back. But I'm not an advocate of that right now, just because of the cost. And yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. It makes sense. I just wondered. Thank you.
We get a lot of requests on the field, but it never amounts to anything because they realize it's not quite there. And then there's everybody, they say, well, you don't have to do anything. And then as soon as they show up, we have to do a bunch of stuff. So
yeah, a problem. I get it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Kyle, Jim Peckham, can you give any kind of update on the roads program and the associated trades training and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, so funny thing, Jim. Nikki said, is it okay if I skip IAC? I got another meeting. And I said, I bet you're not going to get any questions. The roads program, I know it's moving along. It's got the funding from Dieter. I'm going to defer that question maybe to next meeting or a follow-up, let Nikki explain it. But I would ask Dana if you want to chime in on some of the CTE programs, or Coral, whoever wants to take either a piece of that or related. Go ahead.
I can just give you a financial update on it because...
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, my office handles the monthly grant billing and putting the packets together for reimbursement. But as an example, our February expenditures were $15,000. We have spent close to $500,000 in grant fundings with the road program. And the categories that we have on this grant are related to participant costs, training related supplies and textbooks, life and soft skills training, and then outreach. So as an example, just, and again, I don't know all the details that Nikki would, but I mean, we're doing classes related to, just for February, awarding funding for automotive. Let's get the next page here. Welding. Bookkeeping classes, which is on our continuing ed side, not our four credit side. Construction classes, which are on our four credit side. And other students related to pharmacy tech, commercial drive air training. So that's just a sample of the activity that's going on every single month with roads.
Does that help, Jim?
Yeah. And it seemed like that was a 2-year grant and it got renewed. Is that what it?
Yes. The first round was through federal funds, and this year it's coming from State of Nevada.
I think one of the things that we can look forward to in the future is kind of an expansion of Rhodes applicants and the application of Rhodes to students, because as we expand opportunities in Fernley, as we expand opportunities in Fallon, we will see more participation there, and that's pretty exciting.
I say we've got more people in our housing in your nursing program, I think, than anything else.
Rhodes supports a lot of nursing in CNA. Nursing CNA is a lot.
Michelle?
Which I say thank you to, sorry, Michelle Joy, say thank you to WNC for all the support in those clinical areas. It makes a huge difference, definitely a shortage. We actually, in 2025, hired 76 new grad RNs. Wow. And so the year before was 67 new grad RNs. So we continue to expand. We continue to have nurses who are retiring. And so there is definitely a need and a pipeline for the nursing piece. So Kyle, appreciate the expansion, both in Douglas County as well as in Fallon. And I just have to say the students are always outstanding when they come through on their clinical piece. And then the only other area that I'll put a little plug out there for is the imaging tech side. So
So your x-ray techs, your ultrasound techs, CT techs. We do get a lot of students from Great Basin that come in to do their clinical rotations with us. So, you know, I don't know if that's potentially a future program.
It could be. You know what? Dana's already answered the question once today, so I'll let her answer again. Dana, do you want a quick, not the imaging, you can weigh in on that, but you want to give the numbers on the nursing from the different sites that are getting developed in that program you were talking about, Fallon?
Yeah. So currently we are approved through the Nevada State Board of Nursing for a cohort of 64 annually. So that's roughly, it's 56 in Carson, 8 in Fallon. Obviously, if there are less Fallon students, then we have more in Carson. But we try to keep it balanced because, right, we have clinical groups that have to be managed at 8. So it helps to have them in groups of 8. We do a lot of math around 8. But as we expand into Fallon will become a standalone program that we foresee supporting a cohort of 24 annually. And then that 8 that we have in Fallon will transition to Douglas. So we'll maintain 64 kind of in this urban area here. And then rural nursing will have a cohort of 24 annually, meaning 48, so they're serving 48 students a year and hopefully graduating 24 mm-hmm. students every year to go into those rural nursing positions. That's our plan. We're also looking in Fallon really at the rural nursing need and asking some questions about, is there a need for LPNs at this point that we know wasn't really there before, but if that's where the need is to just get qualified people into frontier areas, is that something that we need to do? Community health worker is another kind of rising profession in those more rural communities as they're waiting for people to get into, you know, helping people through the medical paperwork and getting into services that they need. So we're looking at that as well. So I appreciate the comment, Michelle, about imaging tech, and we have talked about that. We have a lot of things on our plate right at the moment, so it might not be tomorrow, but it could be down the road.
Thank you.
Is that a situation where you, for imaging techs, you'd have to buy equipment or get a hold of some used equipment for that training, or is that they learn that as a internship or something?
I'm not overly familiar with it, so Michelle might have more insight on that than I do.
We would have to have a place in our own equipment, I believe. We don't want to send them into Carson Tahoe and, you know, and say, hey, light that up, see what happens.
They have to practice first before they go do equipment.
Yeah.
So
it would be equipment in its base. Yeah.
Hey, Kyle, I just have one last question. Hey, you know, you talked about there are 4,000 students in the spring and that you want to always keep a good balance, not to overpopulate and can't serve. What do you see as the ideal enrollment for the college?
You know, I right now we're at it because 4,000, 3,800 to 4,500, right about there, just based on headcount. But because we're not funded on headcount and we're not even funded on FTE, it's tricky to establish a headcount. We're funded on weighted student credit hours. So the more credit they're taking, we get funded. So that indirectly, I mean, ties to headcount. But I, you know, we can expand, we could, if we were to say, let's target a goal for 5,000, I mean, that's kind of, it's an arbitrary, it's come up because it's the next rounded number up. But I would say we have to, you know, if we're gonna do that, it needs to be build out some of the other campuses. And I don't know if there's a population out there to do that. So,
Okay.
You know, so right about where we are budget-wise keeps us going. I like to have a little bit of a margin, so more headcount means more students taking credits, more credits means more funding. We're not in it just for the funding, but if we don't have the funding, we're not in it. So
yeah, right.
We'll watch all of that. So, and on that point, Mary, if I can, because I know you spent some time down at the legislature there, just for awareness, I know there's discussion about how we fund dual enrollment. It would be devastating to our institution if they did anything on the dual enrollment funding from the state side. So we've already been talking to legislators talking about it, saying, you know, dual enrollment is its own program, it needs to be funded like its own program, and it's doing a great benefit to students. And if there's any discussion on well, maybe it's double dipping, or maybe the district shouldn't be, you know, they've already mandated the districts do it. But I mean, if yeah. If any of you ever hear that, I'd like to be at the table, just because we can give our, at least explain our case for it. It's a good program, okay. And we're doing some good things, but that's why I'm also thinking we need to get it more into the non-high school students, because yeah. It's a little bit more stable.
Yeah, okay, thanks. That's good to know. Thank you. Because yes, the education interim committee's already had two meetings. They got four more to go. And their discussion about all that sort of thing. So thank you.
Al, can I jump in on just enrollment for just a second? Because I think one of the things that's important to note here is that we have some new places coming online that are going to give us a boost in adult enrollment. Fernley is a whole new population for us, right? And the students that we will get in Fernley will predominantly be adult students who are working in manufacturing or preparing for manufacturing. We will start offering our first class in Fernley on April 6th. So that's a big deal for us. It's been a long road to get there. And then we hope by fall to really expand the advanced manufacturing offerings there. And then also we were approved to offer classes on Naval Air Station Fallon's campus. And so we will actively work next year to start building out, to offer some classes and start building out that clientele. And those are all adults. So that for us will be, that's a really good place for us to be.
Thank you, Dana. Yeah, realized I didn't mention Fernley, and thank you for bringing it up a couple of times. And thinking too, at some point, I'm looking at the faces in the room and the ones we don't have on the call, we probably want to see if there's an IAC candidate from Fernley to add to this board, because I like to have each of our areas represented. I know Sean Rose on this, and he's not here today, but he's our Fallon person, and Douglas as well. Actually, who's in Douglas? Is anybody from Douglas other than Coral? Because you're not a voting member. So yeah, to try to represent all the spaces that we're in. And the bachelor degrees too, Dana. Because any bachelor degree would naturally be somebody who's not a high school student.
Any more questions? All right, with that, we'll move on to agenda item number 7. Thank you very much for that update. Remarks from WNC IAC members. This item is for information only. Are there any remarks from the members?
I'll just jump back on just to mention we've got about 15 people whose leases will be up at the end of this semester, and who have not yet told us whether they are going to continue with us. And again, people can, once they get their certificate or their degree, they can continue to live with us for a period of time until they can afford to transition to other housing. But some of my staff said, I'm getting anxious. I said, oh, that's not bad. We had 36 openings when we started, so back when we opened 2 years ago. So we filled it from there, so I expect we'll be able to get 16, but just as an FYI.
Any other comments? All right. Hearing none, we'll move on to agenda item number 8, new business, information only. Does anyone have any new business we'd like to discuss? All right, well, we're going to roll right through this then. Agenda item number 9, public comment. Is there any public comment? Right. Before we adjourn, Tracy, do we have the next meeting date already scheduled?
We do not, but we could look for one in September.
Okay. So you'll get a little pull out for September then?
Yeah, maybe do that online so the others can chime in.
Yep. Okay. Excellent. Well, If there's no further public comment, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for being here today, and thank you for the great updates. It really is exciting to see what's happening. It's fantastic. Thank you very much, Kyle.
Sounds good. Thank you.
It's nice to see you all today.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Yep.